been looking at the 126th Psalm and using it as a jumping off point. I've preached a couple times in it on the subject of our evangelistic efforts. And let's just read verses 5 and 6. If you want to hear a little bit of explanation of the whole psalm, you can go. Sermons now, even Sunday school lessons now, are on the church's website, www.oldpathsbc.org. And you can listen, you can stream it right from the website. A lot of times there are notes available. So you could... we won't even charge you $9.95. You can go back and listen to messages. And I have been working through verse 6 in some preaching recently, and so you can go back and listen to that. But let's just read verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I explained at length, and I won't rehash it, why we want to apply that to evangelism, how I think that's the most appropriate application of this analogy is our evangelistic efforts, our soul winning, if you will. And so I just want to go through that a little bit more, take some time in Sunday school, and look at essential elements of effective evangelism. So with that in mind, let's pray. Father, help us, Lord God, as we look into your word today. Lord, I want to be clear with your word. I want your word to be clear in our minds and in our hearts. And I pray that you would do that work. We know that that can only take place as your spirit enlightens us. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from out of thy law. Give us help, Lord God, as we look into your word this morning. And help it, Lord, to make our evangelistic efforts more effective as we seek to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been working through phrase by phrase, verse by verse, and phrase by phrase in verse 6. It says, first of all, and I said we'll apply this to our evangelistic efforts. First of all, it says, he that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. Here's an element, an absolutely essential element for effective evangelism. You need to go. You need to go. I said this, because nothing happens if you don't go. Or something might happen, but you won't be there. You won't be the one involved. Nothing happens if you don't go. I hate to rehash this. I preached on this, probably preached on it better than I will this morning. The picture here is like a farmer sowing seed. And we get this idea that, you know, just as I'm out and about, I will sow the seed. Well, yes, you should. You should do that. But can you picture a farmer with that attitude? As I drive by my field, I'm going to open, roll down my window and throw the seed out. He's not going to get a crop. Not a decent one anyway. That's why I am convinced, and the longer, I used to not be convinced. I've become convinced of the need for a set aside time and an organized manner of doing evangelism, like we're doing on Saturday mornings. You need to go, because nothing happens if you don't go. Because some are still in captivity. The passage speaks of God turning their captivity, the people of God in Babylon, turning their captivity. Well, God turned your captivity as well. You were in chains of sin. You were in bondage to Satan. You were in, Colossians 1 says, you were in the kingdom of darkness. And God translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. But some are still out there in captivity. You can't be set free and then say, I have no concern for them. You've got to go. You've got to go because you want to be Christ-like. Didn't He go? Didn't He leave the glories of heaven and come into this world through the womb of a virgin, live a sinless life, but die a sinner's death? Didn't He go? You want to be Christ-like. I'm glad we don't have to go to the cross of Calvary. But we do have to go. You need to go because you've been sent. It's not just the preach. It's not just the apostles. It's not just the preachers and evangelists, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. It's not just them. It's every Christian has been sent. You need to go because your going is a vital link in the chain of salvation. Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except someone is sent? It's a vital, there's a chain. There's a chain of events that leads up to somebody's salvation. And part, one link in that chain is you go. You need to go. You need to go because they won't come to you.
You're right.
They won't come to you. So you need to go. He that, notice that first step. Before you can bear the precious seed, before you can come again with rejoicing, before you can bring your sheaves with them, you gotta go. He that goeth forth. That's the first thing in the verse. Look at the next part there. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. I think it's sad that we've lost our tears for the lost. I think that it's, we've gotten to a point where we're so distracted by so many other things or whatever it is, and our heart and our burden for the lost. When's the last time you shed tears over lost souls? We've lost our tears for the lost. Well, I think we need to find our tears, and I won't rehash this message, but we need to find our tears in compassion. Jesus looked on the people and saw them as sheep having no shepherd, and it says he had compassion on them. Can you look out in the world, look out at the people around you, look out at your coworkers, look out at the strangers, look out at the neighbors, and see them as sheep having no shepherd and have compassion on them? We need to find our tears in frustration. Boy, Jesus from time to time got frustrated with the crazy things that unbelievers did. But it led him to try to share the good news with them. Find your tears in identification. Paul was desirous to reach the Jews because he was a Jew. Who are you desirous to reach? Who can you reach because of who you are in this life? Find your tears in obligation. Paul said, I am a debtor to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the rich, to the poor, to the wise. Do you realize that you owe people the gospel? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, ma'am. Is that better?
What?
Now we can have children's choir. Find your tears in obligation. Find your tears in anticipation. Listen, there is coming a day when you will no longer weep for the lost or for anything. God is going to dry up every tear. There's coming a day when you and I will sit in the heavens and realize the judgment that God is pouring out on a wicked world. And we're going to say, thank you, God. We're not going to be crying about it. We're going to see things as God sees them. Listen, there's coming a day when it'll be too late to cry for them. Find your tears in anticipation. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Now we get to the bulk of our teaching, where we're going to be for quite some time, a number of weeks. Look at verse 6 again. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We've called our evangelistic campaign on Saturday mornings, Bearing Precious Seed. There's ministries called Bearing Precious Seed, printing ministry called Bearing Precious Seed. Bearing Precious Seed. Here's the question. Here's the question, and I won't have you answer it. But we're going to answer it here this morning. What is the seed sown by the effective evangelist? We go out bearing precious seed. We need to know what is the seed. What are we using? What are we planting to in hopes of seeing people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? When we want people to realize they're a sinner, we want people to understand that their sin separates them from God, and if they die in their sins, they will spend eternity separated from God in the flames of torment. We want people to realize they don't need to die in their sin, but that Jesus Christ died for their sin, and that He was buried and He rose again, and they can turn from their sin and turn in faith to Jesus Christ and be eternally and gloriously saved. We want people to take that step of faith that makes them born again. In order to see that, we're planting a seed. What is the seed that we are planting? Let's talk about that this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 8. We find this parable in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 8, let's start at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him, Him is Jesus, come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. Now here's what Jesus said. A sower went out to sow his seed. Now wait just a minute here. Boy, as soon as I read that, it reminds me of what we just read in the 126th Psalm. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Jesus said, a sower went out to sow seed. I got a question for you. Did Jesus know the Scriptures? Does Jesus know the Scriptures, I should say? I shouldn't speak of Jesus in the past tense. Does Jesus know the Scriptures? Does Jesus realize... does Jesus know Psalm 126? Does Jesus realize when He says, a sower went out to sow seed, that immediately people's minds are going to go to Psalm 126? So you think that Jesus, without explicitly stating it, might be building on the analogy in the 126th Psalm? A sower, verse 5, went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You know all the rest, and my point is not to exposit this parable this morning, except for one verse I want to direct your attention to. When they asked what the parable meant, verse 11, here's what Jesus says. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Back to Psalm 126. What is the seed sown by the effective evangelist? The Word of God. The Word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible, what's that next word? Seed, but of incorruptible. Well, what's the seed? How do you know that, Brother Chris? Well, what? But could it be different here? I didn't finish the verse, did I? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Well, there it is, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The seed. What is the seed in this passage? The Word of God. He doesn't talk about anybody sowing it, but somebody has to sow seed. How does seed grow if somebody doesn't sow it? 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's right. We won't turn there. You're probably familiar with it. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. And they had factions. Some of them were saying, well, my favorite preacher is Apollos, and I'm of Apollos. And some were saying, well, my favorite preacher is Paul. And Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What was Paul talking about planting? What did he plant? What did Apollos water? The Word of God. The Word of God. In fact, he explained his ministry in chapter 1. He said, He that sent me, Jesus sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So when he says, I have planted, he's talking about when I preached the gospel. When I preached the Word of God. How about James? You're not far if you're still in Peter. Turn to your left to James 1:18. James 1:18, of his own will, God's own will, begat he us with the word of truth. Did you know that God was willing to save you? Did you know that God saved you of his own will? Amen. You didn't get saved against the will of God. That's right. That's true. Some people seem to feel like that. Of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits. What's fruit? How does fruit come about?
From the tree.
How does the tree come about?
From the seed.
So fruit started with a seed. So he begat us that we should be a kind of first fruits. How did he beget us? With what?
The seed.
What was the seed in James 1:18? Well, what's the phrase exactly? With the word of truth, which is the word of God. Jesus said, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. How about still in James 1:21? Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. What's able to save our souls? What's that engrafted mean? Implanted. What is the word? The word is the seed. The seed is the word. So I just, over and over in the scriptures, it seems to me like the seed is the word of God. You mean when we're out evangelizing people and witnessing to people, we ought to be using the Word of God? What a novel concept. I didn't understand that when I was a child. I got saved by trusting Christ as Savior. And then I went around just telling people in my own words how they ought to get saved. Now, there were a few professions of faith. I don't know if any of them were genuine or not. But I never opened up as a child. I never, as I was zealous, I told people Jesus died on the cross and things like that. But I never opened up the Bible. I never opened up the Word of God and showed people what the Word of God says about how to get saved. Listen, if we're sowing seed, we got to have a bag full of seed. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Now, probably next week and future weeks, we're going to expand on that idea. We're going to expand on using the Word of God. That's an essential element for effective evangelism. We're going to talk about using the Word of God as the seed. But let's contrast it a little bit. Let's just clarify in our minds what is not the seed. What is not the seed sown by the effective evangelist? Let me hear from you. I've been doing all the talking this morning. What are some modern ideas being tried to reach the lost for Christ? What is being substituted for the seed? What are churches or evangelistic efforts trying to use to bring them in from the fields of sin?
Programs, stories.
Programs, stories, what else? entertainment, experiences, music, money. There's churches that are paying people to come to church. Yeah. Or when gas was high, they were giving them gas cards. If they first time visitors, giving them gas cards. Where? He says, where? Not in Dubuque. That was in California. You need to use a lot of gas to get there. What else? Prizes. Promotions. Prizes and promotions. And you hit on all the ones I want to hit on. Maybe you can think of some more, though. What are... Miss Beth, we hardly ever hear from you, Miss Beth. You should speak up more often. Live a good life. They're going to come to me, and then I need to be ready always to give an answer. Well, we need to be ready to always give an answer, but also you need to go. It's my good lifestyle might point them to me, but it won't point them to Christ. Yes, ma'am. Worldliness. She said Bible studies at the bar. Did you realize churches are doing that? Did you realize they're getting... Well, I'll get into that. I'll talk about that in a minute. This... Huh? Having itching ears. They heap unto themselves teachers. Somebody that will tickle their ears. Tell them good things. Tell them... I'm okay, you're okay, God's okay. Yes, ma'am.
Taking out sin or taking out blood.
Water it down. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just talk about it for a minute. I'm going to hit on my biggest pet peeve. It might be the biggest one. It was, should we use the seed of music? Reach them through the music? This is an idea that is very prominent today, but it's a new idea. It started in the 1970s and 1980s. It kind of took off in the 1980s. It went full bore in the 90s, and by the 2000s, it's taken for granted. We're going to reach them through the music. And people that have grown up in that church, kind of church, we're going to reach them through the music. That's the way they think, but it's a new idea. It's a new idea. Let me say that, you know, we gotta change our music. Nobody wants to sing Fanny Crosby anymore. So we're gonna change our music. We're gonna get rid of the hymnal and put the words up on the screen. So now that we got rid of the hymnal, now your hands are free and you can do this and this and this and whatever else you can do. We're gonna reach them through the music. That's the way we gotta reach the young people. They identify through the music. That's the way we're going to keep people. That's the way we're going to reach people. And as it's gone full bore, and of course it's gone in the worldly music direction, because that's the music people want. You know, give them what they want to hear. Here's just 2 points on this. I'm not gonna preach on this for an hour. I could. Though many churches might be deceived about reaching them through the music, the actual musicians themselves are not deceived about it. The creators of the music, the Christian rock musicians, the CCM musicians, they will come right out and tell you they're not trying to use their music to reach the lost. They will come right out and tell you they're not going to preach at their concerts. They'll come right out and tell you the lost can come into their concerts and feel comfortable, never be confronted with their need of Christ, and leave unchanged, and that's fine with them. Wow. Interview after interview, it's documented. These Christian music artists, if I can use that term as loosely as I can, will say that's how they feel about it. And church leaders and church people are like, we're going to reach them through the music. The musicians that wrote the music said, oh, we're not going to reach them through the music. Somebody's deceived. Now, here's another thing. Do you realize this? Do you realize that there's no command in the Bible, there's no suggestion in the Bible, there's not even any example in the Bible of using music to reach the lost, using music for evangelistic purposes. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. In fact, I did find one place. This page right here in your Bible. That's what the Bible says about using music for evangelism. There's no example in the Bible for using music to turn the lost toward God. But there is an example in the Bible of music being involved in turning God's people to false worship and lewdness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Moses coming down from the mountain. They were worshiping the golden calf. What did Joshua say when they're coming down from the mountain? What did he thought he heard? Sound of war. I think I hear the sound of war. They get a little bit closer. Oh, that's not war. That's music. How about half a block down from this church? Not this church, another church. I think I hear the sound of war. You get a little closer. That's not war. That's racket. Yeah. Music was involved in the Bible in turning God's people away from God, but it's never been involved in the Bible in turning the devil's people toward God. But we'll reach them through the music. I have a novel idea. Maybe you can help me fill in this blank. This is a real head scratcher, but maybe you agree with me that Christian music, according to the Bible, Christian music is for Christians. What does the Bible say in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Christian music is not for the lost. Christian music is for us. The seed, all I'm saying is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is not the music. Reach them through programs. I got a program for everybody. I'm about programmed out. My former pastor, years ago, he was kind of being sarcastic. He told me, Vic, you know, the way we're going to grow this church, he was being sarcastic, by the way. He said, the way we're going to grow this church is we got to stick to the three P's. And I said, the three P's? He said, yeah, parking, preschool, and programs. We'd get calls. This church probably gets calls. I used to get calls. What kind of program do you have for fill in the blank? What kind of program do you have for teens? What kind of program do you have for whatever group? What kind of program do you have? What kind of program do you have? Here's what I would tell them. We have the same program for them as we have for everybody else. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. Amen. That's called the church. That's the program. The program is church. Had a man call me. You can get mad at me if you want. I'm just going to be transparent. Had a man call me early one Sunday morning and said, I didn't catch him quite at first. I did a double take. He said, do you have any kind of program for someone who has abused children? And I thought, yeah, Louisville Slugger. Yeah. We got a program that meets on Thursdays, back alley baseball bats. No, I didn't say that. I bit my tongue. I wanted to say that. I didn't say that. I bit my tongue. I didn't expect him. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. And to my surprise, he came to church that Sunday morning. And I met with him a couple of times during the week. He was actually, under investigation for child abuse. And he asked me on that Tuesday, he said, can I come to church Wednesday night? I said, don't come to church. I'm going to meet with the men. We're going to put, for our protection and your protection, if you're going to come to church here, we're going to put some things in place, for accountability's sake and protection's sake. So don't come to church Wednesday. I'm going to meet with the men on Sunday. And, We'll see. You know, and meanwhile, I had called his pastor that kicked him out of their church, and he said, if you think you can help him, well, I didn't know if I could help him or not. I said, I'm going to meet with the men on Sunday. Well, before Sunday, on Friday, he got arrested. He's been locked up ever since. That was 10 years ago this month. But anyway, no, this, we have the same program. By the way, I hope you believe that the Word of God can help that person. The Spirit of God and the people of God. Reach them through programs. How about reach them through drama? That's been brought, you know, we're going to reach them through drama. We're going to do skits and play, and they're going to come in. Reach them through worldliness. This is what Stacy said, having beer hall Bible studies. Do you realize there are churches and there are people who believe in order to reach the worldly individual, you have to get down on their worldly level? They'll respect me more if I'm more like them. My good, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was separate from sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but separate from sinners. We're going to reach them through, you know, they would never say worldliness, but that's the idea, you know. We want to look like them, talk like them, smell like them, and sin like them, and then we'll be able to reach them. What are you reaching them for? They want to change. You look just like them. Reach them through worldliness. Reach them through signs and wonders. Miracles are going to reach them. Go ahead. The Antichrist is going to reach them for him through signs and wonders. God's not the only one that can perform miracles. Just remember that. Remember that when you see these so-called miracle workers, and 99 times out of 100, you can disprove the miracle. But anyway, remember that when you see miracle workers, the devil can perform miracles and will perform miracles to sway people religiously. Reach them through promotions. We're going to reach them through promotions. Gimmicks, gifts, whatever. Famous preacher in a famous church years ago, probably almost 40 years ago, back in the day of big promotions. This is in the South. Had a Sunday they're promoting dinner on the grounds after church. They're going to have church services Sunday morning, and then everybody that's there is going to be provided a free meal. It's going to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. But not only that, they did that one time and a lot of people showed up, but they needed more people. They wanted more people to show up. So it's not just going to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. After church, when we all get outside, planes are going to fly over and drop Kentucky Fried Chicken out with parachutes, drop buckets of chicken. A lot of people showed up. We're going to reach them through promotions. Yeah. Here's my thought. And someone has wisely said this a long time ago. What you win them with, you win them to. And you got to keep them with it. What you win them with, you got to keep them with. What you win them with, you win them to. So the Kentucky Fried Chicken the first time wasn't enough. Now next time you had to drop the buckets out with parachutes. How are you going to top that? We're going to do the next time. Jeff's holding up his Bible. You remember the account in Luke chapter 16. Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is in hell, lifting up his eyes, being in torments. Send Lazarus to my brother's house. I have five brothers. If one rose from the dead, signs and wonders, promotions. If one rose from the dead, they'll listen. And what did Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. No, but if one rose from the dead, Luke 16:31 says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here's my thought. If the seed of the Word of God is not enough, what will be? If you can't reach them with the Word of God, you can't reach them. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through buckets of chicken on parachute cords or anything else you can come up with. Brother Adam.
Because for anything genuine to result, it's all got to come back to that anyway.
It's got to come back to the Word of God. It's got to come back to the Word of God.
At the end of the day, that's all it's about. And it's the same thing with you every time you get up and preach. It's the same application as...
I thought you were saying I preach the same thing every time
no.
I get up.
No, every time you get up and proclaim God's Word as a preacher, you're trying to win the Christian. Even
the Christian, win them away from their sin.
If they won't hear you, they're not going to hear a program or anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the program's okay if it's just a program to help your people in the church to deal with things, okay?
We have ministries in a church to bear one another's burdens, yeah.
It's the Word or it's nothing.
Right.
It's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
If you don't have this Word, you can tell all the fancy stories from the pulpit, feel-good stories, but if you're not reading the Word and point to the Word, then it's nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Feeling, tickling ears. If the preacher's not willing to preach some hell and fire and brimstone, I'm not willing to listen to it.
Amen.
Just
amen.
You could say, Jesus rose from the dead. And he is the Word. And you've been helped through many things in your life, as every preacher has. And a guy can get up and give his testimony of, this is how God delivered me. For its sake, from smoking. Pornography or from some other wicked sin. And this is the Word of God used that helped deliver me from that. There's one, in a sense, that was raised from corruption of sin and so on and so forth. And here might sit a guy that is struggling with that same sin. And they won't hear the one that was raised out of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So the principle is there, that there's a guy up there, Pastor Matt, Victor Mallory, that's had some victories in his life through the Word of God. And the guy that's struggling won't hear it. That's not going to apply to me. That won't work for me.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do for that person.
Go ahead, Jeff.
We also, all of us, go out to a world full of sin.
Yeah.
And Jesus went and he ate supper with the sinners. They didn't become like the sinners.
Right.
He rubbed off on them instead of them. He didn't.
Right.
He reached out to him, and you know, the Pharisees gave him a hard time. Well, look, he's eating with sinners. Well, he was eating with sinners, converting sinners,
right,
but becoming like them.
Right, right.
You know, because we all of us work in places where, you know, you hear things all day long, you don't want to hear, and you deal with things, and you try to be a good example, but you also, like I was at work the other day, and I was preaching the Word to a guy right there at work, because we had a couple down minutes, and I was telling him about how Jesus loved him and get up and out.
Amen.
He may not hear that from anybody else.
Yeah.
So we need to remember when we're out there amongst them that we are Jesus to them.
This is the entire point this morning is this. Don't ever be persuaded about any other means to bring the lost to Christ. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. We're going to expand on that, Lord willing, next week. But the seed is the Word of God, and we're out of time. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for our time together. I believe it's been fruitful. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That nothing else gets in the way of that, Father. That for the rest of our lives, we constantly remind ourselves this is how people are reached for Jesus Christ, is through the Word of God. And so I just pray that you would bless our evangelistic efforts as we think of that, Lord God, and as we go about continuing to plant that seed, Lord, and then just bless in every way. Now bless the church services today, guide and direct. Fill this place with your Spirit in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.